have received so much in the past 1 year, say the whole year of 2013. Every week at least 2 messages or sermons, it goes up to beyond 100 messages per year. We receive so much and we listen to it, and whatever we saw even in that clip was just a gist of few lines of how much we have heard. So we have received words of encouragement, and so we thought we'll ask few brothers and sisters to share the words which they has encouraged them throughout this year, and also share their hope for the future. So in this order, I request them to come up. Selvam Xavier, Sister Mercy, Vishwanath, and then we'll have Brother Selvam and Sister Dhanam. And in between that, we'll have a song also. So, Brother Selvam, please take 2 minutes each so that we stick to the time.
There are so many things which we heard this year, and I have been blessed by throughout the year so many times, and I just want to remember some things which I want to take it to my heart that I will not forget. We heard about this a few weeks back. Luke 8:15, it says, but the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who heard the word in a honest and good heart and hold it fast. I want to hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. I want to persevere in what I hear. I don't want to worry about what has gone this year, because I don't want to look back. We have a great future. We have a good God. So I want to look on the God who has a better future for me, who gave us a better covenant. And one more thing is, 1 John 3, it was shared in the Wednesday meeting, and I remember it very well. It was shared by Brother Albert, and it encouraged my heart. 1 John 3:19, it says, we will know by this that we are of the truth, and will assure our hearts before Him in whatever our heart condemns us. It says, for our God is greater than our heart and knows all things. So even if our heart condemns us in so many ways, God is greater than our heart, and we can go to Him anytime. And one more verse which really encouraged me was what Brother Ian shared before. In Romans 11, it says, you know, when the Jews rejected the Messiah, it became a blessing for us. It became a blessing. So my problems are my things which are hindering me. Maybe God will make it a blessing to my spouse, to the brothers in the church, and to everybody around me. I just want to take this seriously, and I personally, what we heard last week about the yoke, I don't want to put any yoke on my spouse or people around me, especially people whom I mingle with, but I want to break the yoke which is in my life, and I want to help the other people who are around me, especially my family members who I see a need, to break their yokes. I believe God will help us this year.
I want to really testify of the Lord's goodness and His mercies in the last year. And as it says in Lamentations 3, His mercies have genuinely been new every morning. I testify that His faithfulness has been really great. And He has been a God of many chances in our lives. And He has not counted the time He has fallen. But He's always come to our aid and helped us. And many times when we come to the Wednesday meeting or the Sunday meeting, He's given us the right word of encouragement. And I want to confess my hope for the future, that in the year 2014, that He will make us an overcomer through His Holy Spirit. And this one verse that comes to my mind that I want to claim as a promise for the year 2014. It's in 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. I want to say a big amen to that, and I want to take it to heart that the Lord has planned something great for each one of us and I believe the Lord will fulfill it. Amen.
I thank the Lord for this year, and God's been very good to me this year. If I look back, and the words I heard from the church has really changed my life. I remember in the beginning of the year, God has said to me one thing, that I want to show you the resurrection life. Previous year I took up the cross, and the cross was very burdensome. Then I realized that this is not the way to serve Christ anywhere else. And I want the resurrection life. In the beginning of the year, and it says in Hebrews 5, in the things he suffered, he learned obedience. I remember the things I made a mistake, and things I did in the past life, I recollected and everything, and I don't want to do the same thing. And the verse says that in the things he suffered, he learned obedience. I learned obedience from the things I made mistakes, even in the family life as well. And the words that I received from the church also made me a different man this year. I begin with this. God's nature, I found that he doesn't have any hatred towards any man. He's merciful to everyone. He forgets and forgives continually. That's the nature I want. I desired that resurrection life has to come into my life. And God imparted a little bit of that life this year. And I could say, like Brother Ian was sharing, you should be a merciful man to everybody. You should be a vessel of mercy to others who failed or who live along with you 24/7. And God made me a vessel of mercy, and God me gave grace to be merciful to others. And I want the resurrection life to continue from this year to next year. And this is a promise I claim in Jeremiah 31. And that he built in the last year, I want to continue the same thing that God has to build in my life continually. It says in Jeremiah 31:3, God, the Lord appeared to him far away, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore I have drawn you with an everlasting loving kindness. Again I will build you, and I will rebuild you. I claim this verse, this, again I build you and I will rebuild you. God built a little bit of his resurrection life in me. I pray that, you know, for everyone, God will rebuild our ruined places. We heard in the Sunday meeting also, God rebuilds the ruined places in our lives. So God wants to build our lives in future. I believe this promise for the next year, that he will rebuild once again wherever he wants to be part of his nature. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, the beginning of the 2013, God gave me this statement and this word that really challenged me, that really encouraged me. That is in Timothy. That's it. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 12. You know, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. You know, that really gives me a great hope. I know whom I believe. I believe in Heavenly Father, who is above all powers. He is a creator of heaven and earth. That really boosted me, and that kept me going throughout this 2013. I know whom I believe. I believe in my Heavenly Father.
Yes, this year I have been encouraged every time whenever I heard the message. Really, I have a Heavenly Father, and I am not at all an orphan. Yes, He is there to hold me, and He is there to comfort me, and He'll never leave me and nor forsake me. And this really God encouraged me so much through this year.
And for the new year 2014, I want to take this as a challenge. I want to confess this as a hope. That is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Even I encourage young people to give attention to this. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. I want to be a fragrance for Christ in my speech, in my conduct, in my love, in faith, and purity. I want to be a fragrance for Christ, so people around can me sense that Christ is in me in this 2014.
Yes, I want to confess the hope this year that is there in Jude 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
Amen. Thank you.
God has amazing ways to encourage us, show us, give us light in our darkest areas. And if I have to sum up everything that in if I have to sum up the whole year's encouragement that I received from the church and from God, one thing that stands out is that God was merciful, and that was shown to me in my life once again. God showed that how merciful He is, even though in spite of me being unmerciful to others or being judgmental, God was merciful to the core. And the way He showed it was that, Moses, you have a log in your eye and you're trying to remove a speck from someone else's eye. And that really showed me that I was so blind to see the log in my own eye, but seeing a small speck in someone else's eye by not being merciful towards them, even though God had been so merciful towards me. And that really encouraged me to see how God doesn't give up on us by being unmerciful. He's still merciful in spite of those kind of conditions and situations where we do not see our own self and sin. And the hope that I want to confess for 2014 is that if I go to God, God will not cast me away. It says in Hebrews 11:6 that, and without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. So if I go to God seeking Him in faith, I'm sure God will reward me. And the reward that I want from God is His Holy Spirit. 2 weeks ago, Brother Ian prayed while ending the meeting. He said, pray that, Lord, I do not want anything on this earth, but I want You. And I believe I made that sincere prayer, and I believe that I want God in 2014. And if I seek God with all my heart, I'm sure to find His reward, that is His Holy Spirit. Amen.
Okay, so, we were thinking about, the new year and how so many people are looking to different avenues and different things that they feel will make them happy. And if you just take a look in the papers or look at the magazines, you will find out that there is so much that is happening in the city, around the city. And at a time like that, we want to think about the Lord, we want to think about His miracles, we want to think about all the wonderful things that He has done, we think about when He walked on this earth, our Lord Jesus, and the wonderful miracles that we had. Lord, we want to bless Your name and thank You for, truly there is a river, Lord, and even as we stand at the beginning of another year, Lord, we know that there is an endless supply of Your grace, Your love, and Your mercy. It's available to us, Lord. Your Holy Spirit who guides us and comforts us, O Lord. And we want to think about You. We want to think about Your wondrous love, the great things that You did, O Lord. And want to continually think about that even as this new year unfolds, Lord. We bless Your name together and we thank You, Lord. Amen. Yeah, so yes. So we were thinking about how there are so many miracles that our Lord Jesus did, and we think about this wonderful story that we want to tell and retell. We want to be encouraged by our Lord. We want to be encouraged by His Word. We've received so much of encouragement. We've received so much in this church. And I want to continue to think about Him. I want to continue to think about His grace and His miracles.
the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Excuse me.
The news came to Jesus. Please come fast. For Lazarus is sick, and without your help, he will not last.
The sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God might be glorified by it.
Mary and Martha watched their brother die. They waited for Jesus, he did not come, and they wondered why.
Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. But oddly, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on where he was for 2 more days. After the 2 days, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea."
The one we have waited for so long.
In
Jesus said, Martha, show me the way. But she said, Lord, the glory of God. Roll back the stone. The gravestone was rolled back. Then Jesus cried, Lazarus, come forth. Alive. You may be in the bondage of habits, addictions, unbelief, but Jesus can set you free. You may be stinking with sin, but God can unbind you if you believe. He's alive, he's alive. Friends, you may be fighting a battle of fear. You cried to the Lord, I need you now, but he has not appeared. But don't be discouraged, for he's still the same. He'll soon be here, he'll roll back the stone, and he'll call out your name. The waiting's 4 days late, and all hope is gone. Lord, we do.
Brothers and sisters, it's the end of 2013, and maybe some of you find yourself in the same place as Mary and Martha and Lazarus. discouraged, depressed, dead. It's 4 days now and things have begun to even decay. Do you know in whose footsteps you stand, my brother and sister? You stand in the footsteps of our father Abraham, our father in faith Abraham. I want to read a little bit, a single verse in Romans chapter 4 verse 19. And there we read about Abraham. Abraham contemplated his own body, now as good as dead. And he looked at the deadness of Sarah's womb. And Abraham at this point was 99 years old. He was called Abraham at that time. And he received a promise from God at that time. We know about that. You read about it in Genesis chapter 17. God Almighty spoke to him. And he said, I will multiply you exceedingly, and your name shall be exalted, Father. For I have made you a father of a multitude. Now for the next 1 year, Abraham continued with that name. He called himself father of multitude. And maybe his neighbors sniggered at him. And you know, in the beginning even Sarah laughed. But he did not grow weak in faith. He grew strong. We read that, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. And for that whole year, he held on. We read in Romans chapter 4 verse 20, he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Being fully assured that what God had promised, God was well able to perform. You know, in John chapter 11 verse 40, we heard Jesus say to Martha, did I not say, if you believe, you would see the glory of God? My brothers and sisters, maybe there's one part of your life which is still decayed and in the grave. But our Lord wants to give us a word of promise that we can hold on to. That area of death in our life, He in His own time will raise up with His resurrection power. Let us learn from our father Abraham and hold on to that one word that he speaks to us, and he will give us that word. Let's hold on to it. Thank you, brother.
So join with us as we've heard, Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I believe, not trusting in my abilities, but trusting in our Lord Jesus' power. Father God, the same resurrection power which raised Jesus from the dead will bring to life all your disappointments, all your difficulties in this new year. Join with us. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. For all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Let's sing it again. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe.
Now I'll request Brother Ian to come and share what's on his heart. He is one of our elders in this church, along with Brother Newton.
Yeah, we praise the Lord for this evening, but we have heard in this wonderful time when God and the Lord has been among us, and we are blessed by the message of the skit that we saw. He's still on time. He will always be on time, even in 2014. And we want to thank, first of all the young people who put in so much of effort, the youth team who organized this evening. Yeah, we praise God that we have a future for this church, and we thank the Lord for young men and women that He's raising up among us. We also want to welcome those who are watching this live webcast. It's probably early morning in the other part of the world, and possibly Brother Zach and the family are watching us, and we are really, we'll be listening to Him in a few moments. So He's with us in spirit, and we'll hear what He has on His heart for the church, and as we enter 2014. So Brother Zach and Sister Annie and all the boys in your families, if you're up, I don't know, it's probably very early in the morning, very warm welcome. We really miss you here among us, and we look forward to your return. And all the others also in the other parts of the world where you're watching this live webcast, we welcome you. And if you did miss it, the live recording will be there for you to listen and watch some other time. So we're going to hear a word that Brother Zach has sent us. Just came in time this afternoon, and the word that he has on his heart for us as a church as we move on in 2014. So we hear first of all what he has on his heart for us.
Brothers and sisters, as we come to the end of this year and begin a new year, just like we want to know whether our children have passed from one class to another at the end of a school year, the Lord wants to know if we have made progress in this year to move to a higher class. We need to look back. We need to look forward. We need to look back and evaluate our lives. It's God who arranged for the earth to go around the sun in a period of 365 and a quarter days. And in that cycle, God has arranged in a way that we can examine ourselves at the end of one each cycle to see how much progress we have made. And in our church, we have taught what is hardly taught in any other church, that the goal of our life is not heaven. The goal of our life is to be like Jesus Christ. That is the destination that God has determined for us. Romans 8:29 is the verse that we have taught for many years in our church, and every one of us should know it. Here it says that God predestined us that we should be conformed to the image of His Son. And that is why He chose us. So predestination, as I've often said, means that's the destination written on your ticket to become like Christ. So just like if a destination is written on your train ticket, you get into a train and the train leads you there closer and closer to that destination every hour. And if you have seen that this is the destination that God has planned for you. Now, you've heard this message from me many times, and I know in your mind you know it. Yes, I know Romans 8:29, I know that's my destination. But ask yourself, in this last 1 year, have you come closer to that destination? If not, you're in the wrong train. You're going the wrong direction. Has your life at home become more Christ-like? Has your attitude to money become more Christ-like? Has your attitude to your brothers and sisters become more Christ-like? Has your speech, the way you speak to your husband and wife at home, become more Christ-like? Has your behavior in your office become more Christ-like? The way you behave in a bus or a train or when you travel and on a scooter or a car, has your behavior become more Christ-like? That is the way we can evaluate ourselves at the end of this year. And if you're serious about it, you can know whether you've made progress. And if you've not made progress, you can judge yourself and seek to do it better in the coming year. So we must never lose our focus on this goal. This is our destination. Never lose sight of it. Just like a person running a race has got his eyes set on the finishing line, and he's running towards it. The Bible says the Christian life is a race, and we've got to run looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Everyone who has the hope of Christ's return will purify himself as he is pure. This is the entire teaching of the New Testament. So that is something in which we must be very honest. And the people who live in our homes should be able to see more of Christ in us every year. It's not enough to say, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to heaven. That's the way to live a very shallow Christian life. And God sees whether we are serious about our Christian life in this area. If we examine ourselves and judge ourselves and say, Lord, I failed in certain areas, and I'm going to really make sure in this coming year that I'm going to overcome in that area. And so as we look into the future, I want you to look at this verse in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 12. When Moses was preparing the people of Israel to enter the land of Canaan, which is the land was promised for them when they left Egypt, but which they did not enter for 40 years because of their disobedience. As they were going to enter that land, the Lord Moses said to them, this is a land which the Lord your God cares for. And the eyes of the Lord are on that land from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. From the very first day of the year to the last day of the year. This is the life we want to live in, where the eyes of the Lord are upon us from the first day of the new year to the last day of the new year. And that promises that he will protect us. That promises that he knows every detail of what is happening to us. What does it mean to have the eyes of the Lord upon us, just like a mother watching its little child playing around and seeing if it's going towards some danger? The mother's eyes are on that child. Isn't it a wonderful promise to know that the eyes of the Lord will be upon you throughout the year, right from the beginning till the end? Like it says in the book of Job in chapter 23, it's a verse that we know in the Living Bible. It says, Job chapter 23 and verse 10, he knows every detail of what is happening to me. It's a great comfort to know that. There's nothing that's going to take God by surprise in this coming year. His eyes will be upon you from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. There's nothing that's going to happen next week, next month, in February, March, April 2014, right through to the end of the year, that's going to take God by surprise. As if to say, oh, I didn't know that would happen. Do you think such a thing is going to happen in your life? That will take God by surprise. It may take you by surprise. But when it takes you by surprise, say to yourself, it hasn't taken God by surprise. His eyes are on me today. His eyes will be upon me throughout this year, from the very first day to the very last day. He loves me. He's watching over me all the time. And that is why I can go forth with confidence, knowing that there's nothing I can encounter which He does not know about. And He's promised also in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 that there's nothing I will encounter this year which will be too much for me to bear. You know, as people in the world look out into the future, they do not know what all they're going to face. But we know what we're going to face. Something that God has decided will be within my ability to bear. I don't know the details of what's going to happen to me, but I do know one thing, that whatever I face, it will be within my ability to bear with the grace that God gives me. When it says there that He'll make a way of escape that I can endure it, that way of escape is His grace, which He said is sufficient for us. So, as we look into the future, dear brothers and sisters, let's go forth with this confidence that the eyes of the Lord are upon us and He will never allow us to be tested beyond our ability, and His grace is sufficient for every single thing that we're going to face this coming year, so that we never have to say, oh, this is too much for me. That we never have to fear, I don't know where this is going to end. I don't know what's going to happen. It doesn't matter what it is. We pray to our Father who is in heaven, a Father who loves us and who is sovereign, who is in control of everything. The other aspect of thinking of the eyes of the Lord being upon us is to remember that there is no place where He's not watching us. So there's nothing that we can do which will escape His sight. And if we realize this, we shall live carefully, seeking to please Him. Lord, You're watching me right now. Nobody's watching me. I'm all alone now. I'm in the dark. But Your eyes are on me. And I want to glorify You in this moment when nobody's watching me. The areas of my life that other people can't see, I remember Your eyes are on me. Let's seek to allow the Holy Spirit to impress that truth deep in our hearts. It says in Psalm 139, where David speaks about his being formed in his mother's womb. Psalm 139. He says in verse 16, Lord, Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. That means, while I was being made in my mother's womb, while you were being made in your mother's womb, God's eyes were on you. Because He knew one day you'd be His child. He knew the future. In His foreknowledge, He had chosen you before you came out of your mother's womb. This has brought great comfort to me, to know that. It's important for you to know this. If you surrendered your life to Christ, made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, God knew that before you were born, and He had His hand on you from your mother's womb. He gave you the personality, the gifts, and allowed you to be born into the home which He had planned to prepare you for your function in the body of Christ. I want to say to every one of you, you've got a function in the body of Christ, and you were prepared for that right from your mother's womb. His eyes were on you from that time. And His eyes are on you today. Don't let Him be disappointed If you have disappointed Him in the last year, let's repent. Repent of those specific areas. Lord, I'm sorry I let you down here. But I want it to be different. I want to seek to live recognizing that your eyes are upon me from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. That you know every detail of what is happening to me. You'll never allow me to be tested beyond my ability. Like it says in Romans 8:28 as well, you'll make everything that happens to me work together for my good. Everything that people do to me will work for my good. Every circumstance is going to work for my good. We must confess that hope. We believe it. That is God's word. Now these are all things that we have taught and heard, that you heard many times in this church. The reason I'm repeating it is so that it becomes real to you every single day of this year. So often we can hear something and we think we know it in our minds. Pray that it'll sink into your heart. Because if you really believed that every single thing that happened to you, God knows what's happening, and He's planned it for your good, and He will not allow you to be tested beyond your ability, then there's no possibility of your being anxious or afraid. So if you have been anxious and afraid in this past year about anything, that indicates that even though you knew these truths that you just heard, it didn't really come into your heart. It was just something you knew in your head. Now I want you to pray that it will become true in your heart, that in your heart you'll be gripped by this. Some of you are concerned about, naturally, about whom you're going to marry. You're getting older. Some of you may be struggling financially. I want to tell you this, and I'm not saying it lightly. I want you to know God is your Father. I want you to surrender every part of your life to Him. Say, Lord, I want to seek your kingdom in my life. I want to seek to do your will alone in my life. Please show me what area in my life I have not yielded. I want your eyes to examine every area of my life. I want your eyes to be upon me. I want to live in your presence all the days of my life. Live with the eyes of the Lord upon me. I choose to live there. And the Bible says in Psalm 16 and verse 11, in His presence, that is, as I live under His eyes, in His presence there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. I want to tell you this, brothers and sisters. It's been a wonderful thing for me to experience that more and more and more as each year goes by. And I want you to experience that. A life of perpetual joy. I'm not telling stories. This is real. God wants you to live there. God wants to make you such a blessing that His light will shine through you, that others will see it. And one more promise, 2 Chronicles in chapter 16. 2 Chronicles in chapter 16, it says in verse 9, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth to strongly support those whose hearts are completely His. Just think, if your heart is completely His, if you say, Lord, in my heart I have no room for anyone other than You. I surrender my ambitions to You. Every desire I have in my heart, I have no place for anyone other than You, Lord Jesus. The eyes of the Lord will not only be upon you. It says here, the eyes of the Lord will move around the whole earth to see ways in which He can strongly support you here and there and in every corner of the earth. The Lord will say, how can I support this child of mine? How can I do something for this child of mine or through this child of mine and here and there and every part of the earth? Believe it. There's so many wonderful promises in Scripture. We're not able to experience it because we don't believe it. Will you believe that if your heart is completely His, the eyes of the Lord will move all across the earth to work on your behalf, to strongly support you. Look at that verse. To strongly support. I want God to strongly support me. Therefore, I want my heart to be completely His. I don't want any part of my heart to be drawn by anything in this world, by impurity, or by covetousness, or discontent, or murmuring, or grumbling, or accusing others. No, I want my heart to be completely the Lord's, because then I know that the Lord will support me throughout the earth. His favor will be upon me. So may these wonderful promises be yours and mine in this coming year. And in that way, we shall be a blessing to this church and a blessing to the circle in which we move. That is God's will for every one of us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, make this real in the lives of everyone who's heard this word. We humbly ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord for this powerful word that we heard. The eyes of the Lord are upon us. Let's go with that word before us as we enter a new year in a few hours' time. So we want to sing this song that we sing so often. I know who holds the future, and I know who holds my hand. Many things about tomorrow. Yeah, that's it. I don't seem to understand. Come, brothers. Maybe we can stand and sing it in faith and confidence, knowing that the Lord's eyes are upon us from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. From the 1st of January 2014 that we'll be entering into till the 31st of December 2014. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what lies ahead. With that confidence, let's really sing to the Lord. Amen. And with that we can go in confidence into the year, knowing the eyes of the Lord are upon us. Please take your seats for a few minutes. We come to the end of this New Year Eve service, and we deliberately chose to have it at a time when everybody's awake, not when everyone's half asleep. I'm sure that we got everything that we heard, saw this evening. And I just want to leave us with something else that Moses said. We heard what Moses said. The eyes of the Lord are upon the land, upon us, from the beginning of the year to the end. And at the end of all that he said to God's people in Deuteronomy chapter 31. I'd like you to look at it. Verse 8. We have it up here, but maybe you can't see it. It's so good to know that the eyes of the Lord are upon us from the beginning of the year to the end. And it's also good to know, like Moses said, the closing words, these were the last words that Moses spoke to God's people when he proclaimed the blessing and the curse, life and death. Like I was saying on Sunday, there's no curse under the new covenant. It's life, like we heard this evening from Brother Zach. The life of Christ, that's what we are predestined for, to be conformed to the image of Jesus, not just get a ticket to heaven that many, many people
at this time think that my sins are forgiven, I got a ticket to heaven. I hope in the years that, even the short time that you've been in this church, you see that that's not the goal, like we heard. Our goal is to become like Jesus. Our goal is to be conformed to His image. That in 2014, we will parse, like we heard. We'll move into the next class. We'll go higher. We're not going to be in the same class, and we're not going to get depromoted. We want to go higher. And I thank God that's how it's gone in my life from the time I've been in this church for nearly 40 years. And I praise God. I never knew it, even though I was a full-time Christian worker. All I knew was the forgiveness of sins. That's all I proclaimed. And that was the good news. It is good news. But that's not. It's only part of the good news. And here Moses says, I want you to see this. He says here in Deuteronomy 31 verse 8, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Isn't that something wonderful to have before us? The Lord is the one who goes ahead of us. We heard Moses say in the beginning that the eyes of the Lord, there it was a land. Here under the new covenant, you and me, if we are partaking of the life of Jesus, the eyes of the Lord is upon us, and the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. And I want to leave that with us for a word for 2014. No matter what happens, no matter what situations, no matter what circumstances, no matter what problems, no matter what difficulties you find, you may come across, and your job in the home, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you, my brothers and sisters. He will be with you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Fear is from the pit of hell. We have to reject it. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to be worried. I want you to look at this, another word, a parallel word in John chapter 10. And this is the words of Jesus. John chapter 10. And, you know, Jesus says there, in the beginning, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them. There we have it again. That Jesus says that when he goes ahead, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them. Not like what you see on the streets in Bangalore. There are hirelings. They drive the sheep from the back and whip them because they're taking them to the slaughterhouse. But Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep, and if you want to be, every one of us can be a shepherd, by the way, not just the elders. To be a shepherd is to go before, to lead. And it says there, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. In this figure of speech, Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life, and life abundantly. Praise God. That's what we are called to, my brothers and sisters. And I just want briefly to leave with us these three things that we can think of as we enter 2014. The first thing that we just were reminded of, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of us. That Jesus, as the chief shepherd, He is the one who goes ahead of us. He is the one who knows us by name. We read that there. He knows each one of us by name, not by a number, by name. Whatever that first name, your pet name is, He knows you by name. Not just the surname, you know, if we have one. He knows you by name. John, Mary, whatever your name is. Always remember that. And He goes ahead of you in 2014. And every day until, like we heard, from the beginning of the year till the end of the year, His eyes are upon us. Till we finish the number of our days on this earth, we heard that in Psalm 139. He has planned the number of days that you and I should live on this earth, and every one of them He'll be with us right to the end. This is God's promise to His people under the old covenant and under the new covenant. Like Jesus said there, I never leave you nor forsake you. And to know this, that He goes ahead of you and me in everything, whatever happens, and you think that God is not with you, hold on to this word. We heard in what we saw in that skit, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. No matter how bad the situation, 4 days dead, and Jesus deliberately delayed, but He's always on time. Not just on time, He's gone ahead. And so you may think that, yeah, what has happened? The Lord is not here in this situation. Everything is out of control, maybe in your job, your office. Maybe you got to leave your vacate your house. It's so difficult to find accommodation. So many things that we come across in this life. We heard He will not test us more than what we can bear. You lose your job, He has something else for you. You got to vacate your house, He has some other place prepared for you. He always goes ahead of us, my brothers and sisters. That's what He said even after He rose from the dead. Matthew chapter 28. I want you to look at it. Matthew chapter 28. The angel said there, said to the women, first of all, Matthew 28, verse 5. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for He has risen, just as He said. Come see the place where He was lying, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He has risen from the dead, and behold, here it is again, He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see Him. Behold, I have told you. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to His disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of His feet and worshipped Him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me, because I am going ahead. I've said this to many who have faced such uncertainties. You don't have to worry. I said it to a couple recently. We were going to a country where they didn't have accommodation. They didn't have a job. They didn't know what they were going to do. I said, if you're moving in the will of God, He's already gone ahead. He's gone ahead of you. And whatever it is you face in 2014, remember this, that He has already gone ahead of you. That's the message the angel said to the women. That's the message that Jesus gave to the women when He met them. Go and tell my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. So what does that convey to us? That I don't have to fear. He's already there in that situation. No matter how dark and bleak it may seem, it may seem that, you know, Mary and Martha thought, you know, He's forsaken us. He's, you know, 4 days. But He had already gone ahead. Physically, He came 4 days late, but He had gone ahead. And that's how it is, my brothers and sisters. I want you to think of that in every situation you face in 2014. The world is not going to get any better. I hope you know that. People speak of a better world. It will never get better till Jesus returns. It will get worse. But we know that He is gone ahead. And so to trust Him, that we never need fear. Said, be not, Moses said to God's people, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. Many times Jesus said, don't fear, don't be afraid. We don't have to fear what the future holds for us. Like we sang, we know who holds the future. And there's a word in John chapter 1, 8 and 9, very rarely we look at it. It says, watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, that you may receive a full reward. 2 John, is one chapter only, 8 and 9. Watch yourself that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. And it says in the Living Bible, if you wander beyond the teaching of Christ, you will leave God behind. So what I'm trying to say is that we go behind Jesus. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So make sure that I follow and I don't run ahead. That's what it says here in regards to the teaching of Christ. If you wander beyond the teaching of Christ, you will leave God behind. While if you're loyal to Christ's teaching, you will have God too. Then you'll have both the Father and the Son. You'll leave God behind. Don't ever leave God behind. Don't run ahead of Him. Because then God is behind. He's not gone ahead. He's promised that He will go ahead of us, my brothers and sisters. Wait. Listen. Listen for His voice. When He tells you to move, then move. He's already gone ahead of you. And He'll always be on time, like we heard. Even if we think it's 4 days late, even if we think I prayed and prayed, nothing's happened. But He's gone on time. We have to believe, like Jesus said to Martha, believe and you'll see the glory of God. The second thing I want you to see is that we make sure that we come in through the door. Verse 8 of John, go back to John chapter 10, verse 8. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. I want you to notice that's not the church. The church is not the door. CFC is not the door. You may come in here, but I hope you find the door. Because if you enter through the door, we read there, you'll be saved. In John chapter 10, verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I get nourished, I grow, I develop, and I lay hold of the life of God like we were sharing on Sunday. Get in through the door. If you come to CFC, good, somebody brought you here. CFC is not the door, my brothers and sisters. Any church on this earth is not the door. Jesus is the door. Come through Jesus. You will be saved. You come through some godly man, you come through some doctrine, or you come some other way, like it says. You climb up some other way. Oh, this is a good church, good preaching. But you don't get in through the door, you will not be saved. I hope you understand that. You will not find pasture. You will not grow. You will not be nourished. So make sure that you come through the door. And it's a wonderful life. Like Jesus said that He came to give life and He came to give it abundantly. And the third and the last thing that we see, He says, if we are His sheep, we will hear His voice. If we are His sheep, we will hear His voice. We will not recognize the voice of strangers. We will not follow a stranger. There are many voices today. John says in 1 John 4, many false prophets, many antichrists have gone out in the world. Test the spirits, he says, to see whether they are of God. We're living in a time when we need to test the spirits. Many voices, many say all wonderful things. And you can feel so wonderful in their gatherings. But listen for the voice of the shepherd. Have a ear to hear the shepherd's voice. And you'll never heed the voice of strangers. Sad to say, some have heeded the voice of strangers through the years and have gone astray and have fallen away, some also, gone back into the world. But if you come in through the door, my brothers and sisters, you come through Jesus and you hear the shepherd's voice, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The stranger's voice they will not hear and they will not follow a stranger. And it says that Jesus said, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. And the thief comes but to steal and to kill. But Jesus said, I came to give life. And I remember one brother saying that translation in the German language, I don't know German, but he says, all those who put their personality before me are thieves and robbers. That has spoken to me through the years.
So I have never sought to follow those who put their personality before them. There was many years in Christian work, but I never sought to follow those who put their personality before them. I thank God when I came to this church, I found a brother who didn't put his personality before him. And other brothers here also. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. We put our personality before Jesus. We are a thief and a robber. We have come only to steal and to kill and to destroy. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And if I am a sheep, I follow the shepherd. I hear his voice. I know only his voice. I will not heed the voice of strangers. And I will do what the shepherd does. I will lay down my life for the sheep. This is what it is, my brothers and sisters. I hope this grips your heart, this grips mine. And I thank God that I can be a sheep, that I can hear His voice, and that I can follow Him. And know that in every situation, in 2014, 2015, and how many years God has for me on this earth, He's gone ahead for me. I hope you have that confidence. Make sure that you're a sheep. Come in through the door. Come in through Jesus, not through CFC. CFC, fine, you can come, you're welcome here, but make sure you find the door and get in through the door. You'll be saved, you'll find pasture, and He will go ahead of you in 2014 and every day that you have, you and I have to live on this earth. May God help us and speak to our hearts that we go with faith and confidence following the shepherd. Let's bow our heads. We don't have to wait for midnight. Nothing sacred about that right now. As we have a few hours to enter into 2014, we cannot do anything about 2013, my brothers and sisters. It's lost time, lost opportunities, but we can do one thing. We can learn from our mistakes. We can repent. Praise God that we can repent, turn to Him and say, Lord, I've lost time. I've lost opportunities. I've been coming to this church, Lord. There are other things that have drawn me, but I want to really make sure that I've come in through You, through the door. And I want you first of all to ask yourself, have you come in through the door, my brothers and sisters? Have you come in through Jesus? You will be saved. You will find pasture. You will grow. You will lay hold of the life that God has called you and me to lay hold of, and for what He has laid hold of us for. And if you come to CFC just because you like the preaching here, you like the fellowship, you like all the activities, you like the young people, I want to say, it will not be long, you'll be disillusioned. But right now, enter through the door. Jesus is the door. He stands there. Come in. Get saved. Hear His voice and hear only His voice and follow Him. And say, Lord, I know. I have a few hours to live in 2013. By Your mercy and grace that I can live to see 2014, I know You've gone ahead of me. And every day of 2014, You've gone ahead of me, Lord. I do not have to worry or be afraid. So, I would encourage you to do one thing. Repent and then forget. Forget the things that are behind. Reach forward to the things that are before you. Repent. Receive forgiveness. Be cleansed. Put it behind you. Whatever it is, however badly you messed up in 2013, put it behind you if you repented. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. With that confidence, we can enter this new and living way and find life.
Say, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you. I repent of all my sin, my failure. Please forgive me, but I want it to be different in 2014. At the end of next year, I'd really have something to rejoice over and give thanks to you. Lord Jesus, I know you go ahead of me, Lord. And in every situation, you'll be there to meet me. Thank you, Lord. Surrender your life, but do it from your heart, not because you are moved by all that you've heard and seen this evening, but that you really want to take your life seriously in 2014. Surrender, every one of us. Let it be an act of surrender. Lord, I surrender my life to you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for forgiving me my sin. Thank you for laying hold of me, that I can lay hold of your life, Lord Jesus. I want to become like you, because this is what you've predestined me for, and this is what you've called me for, Lord. This is your purpose. Give me your Holy Spirit, Lord. I cannot live this life without the power of your Holy Spirit. And now I would ask you to pray to Jesus. If you have never prayed to him with all your heart in desperation, Lord Jesus, baptize me. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit and fire. And believe. Believe that when you ask, you receive. And not only that, believe that you will see the glory of God manifested in your life. And for those of us who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't look back on a day and a date or an experience. How is it today, my dear brother and sister? Are we filled with the Holy Spirit right now and every day? If we are backslidden and gone dry, let's come back. Come to the river that never runs dry. Come to Jesus and drink from Him. A well of water will spring up into everlasting life, and rivers will flow through you. Let's come to Him. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to drink from you. I don't want one dry day in 2014. I never want to backslide, Lord. I want to ask you every day of 2014, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Let your fire be in my heart. Give me a fresh baptism, if need be, of the Holy Spirit and fire. Open your heart to the Lord. He hears your cry and He will meet your need. Lord, we thank you for blessing us richly this evening. Everything that you've seen and heard, and for reminding us that your eyes are upon us. It has been upon us all this year that we're coming to the end of. Your eyes will be upon us from the beginning of the new year we are entering till the end of the year. Thank you, Lord, with that confidence. We can live every day for you. We want to glorify you in our lives, Lord Jesus. Pour out your Spirit upon us as a church, for our young men and women. You will raise up, Lord, to be a threat to Satan. And we pray as a church that we will be a threat to Satan, Lord. Keep us humble and poor in spirit till the end of time. Thank you in Jesus' name.